All right, so I'd like to welcome everybody to today's call. Today, I'm privileged to have Josh Fry on the line. Josh and I were introduced through Yannick Silver, who's a pretty well-known marketer online, and we've been working together for the last few months on various projects. And I asked Josh on the call today because, number one, he exists in an industry that is a little bit outside of a lot of internet stuff at the moment, so he brings a very unique perspective to things, which you will hear about in just a moment. And Josh is in the promotional product industry. So things like, you know, when corporations need to promote their brands and want their logos on pens or shirts or things like that, Josh is the person to go to. And he's based in the Washington, D.C. area, and it's going to be a great call. So, Josh, welcome, and thank you so much for agreeing to be on today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Jason.
Excellent. So let's just jump in. Why don't you tell everybody in a little more detail about what you do, how you came to the business, and just how it's evolved for you to get you where you are today.
Sure. So my business is called On Sale Promos, and I'm in the promotional product space, like you said. Basically, we put clients' logos onto products ranging from pens and mugs and hats to higher-end gifts to clothing and lots of other products. And I kind of stumbled into this industry. I originally started my career actually in the corporate gift world and had a gift packaging and fulfillment company where we would do gift baskets and cookie tins and care packages and stuff like that for our clients, and started to send us pens and mugs and hats and stuff like that to put inside the packages. And we were like, wow, maybe we can add on this service and learn the business, and realized not only could we add on that service and make money from it, we realized that was a much better business than the gift packaging and basket business. And so that's kind of where we shifted gears and got into doing promotional products on a full-scale basis.
Cool. So tell me, I think one of the very interesting things about your industry, and just so the people on the call know, promotional products is very competitive, and Josh is basically in the, I imagine it's like the upper 1% of success stories in there, and that's for some very specific reasons. So Josh, why don't you tell everybody, I think you had mentioned before that there are like your competition, like numbers in like the tens of thousands of people who are technically doing what you do. Can you talk a little bit about that and how most people go about this business, and then some of the things that you've done differently to set yourself apart?
Sure. Well, it's a very competitive business. So basically, there are over 20,000 companies in the United States and Canada alone that we compete with. And of those 20,000 companies, about 250,000 salespeople out there. So I'm competing against basically 250,000 people. And, you know, the thing about the business is the pretty low barrier to entry. So kind of everybody from their brother to their mother, sister, and cousin is in the business getting in. But what happens is, you know, people are just they're not as trained up or as experienced or professional as some of the top-notch people in the industry. And so what ends up happening is it's a very crowded marketplace with, at times, a very bad reputation. You know, it's almost the equivalent of the used car salesman for corporate marketing. And not that there's anything wrong with selling used cars, but I think you know what I mean by that.
Yeah, totally.
And and so by elevating our game and kind of coming off as a marketing professional as opposed to a, you know, swag peddler, if you will, it allows us to kind of separate ourselves from the competition just in terms of how we present ourselves. But we also take a strategic selling approach. So, you know, we have over a million different products that we offer that through our supply chain. And in our business, if instead of trying to be everything to everybody, we try to take a little bit more of a consultative selling approach by finding products that tie into specific markets so we can kind of become an expert in that marketplace. So, for example, picking on the auto industry, if we were to sell, you know, we became an expert in supplying automobile manufacturers and dealerships, and we could do things like keychains or safety kits or roadside assistant types of products, license plates and things like that, all tied into the industry. We have access to all those products.
Interesting. So dig a little deeper. You said that you've done some things to help set yourself apart from these 250,000 of your competition. Give me an example of what the average person in your space does to go out and get business, and then kind of highlight or contrast that with your approach to things.
Sure. Well, I think it's an ever-evolving process. You know, I think in our business, it's all about relationships. And so the more you can build relationships and then solidify those relationships, the more successful you'll be. So whether we go out, for example, and go to conferences and networking types of events, or volunteer on boards where we can kind of build relationships and leverage those relationships, because you know, it's a crowded space, but it's also a $20 billion industry. And the reason it's such a large industry is because I wouldn't say, 95% of the businesses out there utilize some product with their logo, whether it's business cards and supply items like that to, pens and mugs or whatever. So there's a lot of business out there to be had. And the more that we go out there and kind of expand our cast the net to our clients or prospective clients, the more we position ourselves to be top of mind to get those clients to buy from us when they have a need. Now, there are people out there that just rely on family and friends. And, of course, you know, it depends on how nice their family and their friends are, whether they even are willing to do business with them. And so they dip in a little to the business. So there are a lot of part-timers in our business. And then on the full-time side of things, or, you know, the people that are doing business may also go to networking events, but they're usually leaning on incoming leads. You know, there are just not a lot of people out there that are strategically trying to sell. So they'll position themselves with chambers of commerce and things like that just to try to get their word out, but they're not really taking a strategic approach. You know, when we go to a networking event, I'm not just going to a networking event of just random people. I'm going to a networking event within the industry where all those buyers exist, whether it's, automobile manufacturers or whether it's real estate property managers, which is another market we service.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. So one of the things that I think probably a lot of the people listening to this will be able to relate to is, you know, when you're not familiar with an industry like yourself and you meet somebody that is in the promotional products industry, it seems to me that like the average client would be thinking something like, look, I just need my logo on my pen. Like, I just need it cheap and quick. You know what I mean? And so, like a lot of our clients in the copywriting world, or if you're a web designer, oftentimes the client doesn't really understand or isn't in a position to be able to really understand the value you're providing. And so they just group you in as like one of the 4 million people they could get this service from, without really understanding what separates one person from the other. I imagine you've encountered stuff like this. How do you approach it so that your clients really understand why they're choosing you versus someone else?
Sure. Well, I think in a couple different things. One, and I just wanted to kind of mention this along the lines, is we actually all pull from the same supply chain. So in our industry, our suppliers don't sell direct to the end user. They sell through distributors. So, for example, a company like Bic that make, whether they make lighters or pens or what mouse pads, whatever they make, if you called up Bic or went to their website, they won't sell you their product directly with your logo. They only do it through a distribution channel. So to make matters even more competitive, we have 250,000 people out there we're competing with, and we all have the same supply chain. So to answer your question, part of the trick is to build the relationships with the suppliers. And by building the relationships with the suppliers, it A, gives you better pricing than the competition, and B, puts you first in line with production so you can turn product around faster and guide the client or deal with last-minute needs for the client. You know, for our business, and this is kind of where the training comes in, you know, someone could could put a sign up, and next thing you know, they're in business, and they really don't know what they're doing, and they don't know which factories are the best factories to be able to deliver on time within the budget, as yeah. well as, you know, the quality of the product. So our focus is really on, you know, best quality product within budget, delivered on time, or your money back. And so we're very focused on the customer service side. When I say customer service side, on the responsive side. You know, we try to respond back to clients. We have a 10 in 24 guarantee, you know, 10 ideas within 24 hours. Yeah. If someone has a specific price point that they're looking to work within, we'll source products from suppliers that we know that can do that for us. And then the other thing that we'll do is, because sometimes if we don't have a relationship, which is often the case for a new client, and they really are just looking for price, you know, we'll go in and play the price game to get our foot in the door, and then use that opportunity. We may not make money on that first job or a lot of money, but we'll use the opportunity to build a relationship. And then as yeah. we build the relationship, then we can drive what products we sell and profitability and make money and build a longer-term relationship.
So just to highlight for everybody something that Josh said, that basically, I mean, in the service business, right, oftentimes one of the biggest competitive advantages is the uniqueness of the service you offer. And Josh is going out really building an entire business serving clients and delivering the exact same products that over 250,000 other businesses could deliver. Is that right?
You got it.
So to be able to differentiate yourself when your product is identical for all intents and purposes commands a huge amount of respect. And even more so because I know that you worked with a lot of very high-profile clients, and I wonder if you could maybe discuss, you know, you always hear, like, build the relationship. Not many people ever explain how you do that, how long something might like that might take, and how you move something like that forward over time. Can you maybe pick a client in your mind that's a high-profile kind of limited access kind of situation and talk us through how you develop something like that?
Sure. We actually, and again, you can cut me off if I'm doing too many shameless pitches here, but this coaching model that I'm doing, I'll tell you a little bit more about later. We have an 8-play process. The business is called Swag Coach, and I coach people on an 8-play process to fill their pipeline and build relationships with clients. And those yeah. types of plays are all about the customer, the client retention, and building a relationship. And it could be anything from not only sending the client an email to stay top of mind and check in on them and see how they're doing and see if they have any needs, which is really more of a self-serving email, but there are so many other ways that we stay top of mind. For example, you know, I have a client that is in the apartment management business, and basically they manage a portfolio of apartment buildings, and they utilize some of our products to market those buildings. And so they could be anything from fair housing signage to doormats to gifts for their residents. And so I was, you know, flying the other day and read in USA Today an article about the industry and about how multifamily housing is really starting to turn around as the economy starts to turn around, and there are a lot more new construction projects that are developing. Basically, yeah. these companies are now building apartment buildings. And so I'll take a link to that article, and I'll send it to my client and be like, thought about you. I hope you guys are riding the wave here. And it builds that relationship where they realize I'm thinking more about them than just from a self-serving purpose.
What percentage of your competition do you think does something as simple as that?
I'd be pretty surprised if 5% of my competition did that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, truthfully, I don't know the numbers, but I don't really know of anybody that's doing that in my space.
Yeah.
You know, here's another simple thing we do, and that's really fun. I take my clients out to lunch and take my clients out to dinner and drinks all the time. You know, and if they're not local, I'll do things like I'll profile them a little bit in terms of their personal interests, and then I'll send them a gift certificate to, like, one of their favorite restaurants in their city. If they like a specific sports team, I'll buy tickets to the game and send it to them and a friend to go. You know,
yeah.
the trick is doing things with them to build a relationship, you know, and spending time with them so you break down the walls of this guy is just selling promotional products to this guy is a resource. And that's really our goal, is to transition
yeah.
from supplier of promotional products to resource, miracle man. This guy
yeah.
can get me whatever I need or connect with.
So talk about, like, I mean, most people would look at your business and say, what does Josh do? And they would answer, oh, he sells promotional products. But that's not really the problem that you're solving for your clients. Can you talk maybe about what some of those are, some of their priorities, and how promotional products delivered well with a service like yours impact, you know, them reaching those goals?
Sure. I mean, there's a wide array. So from a marketing standpoint, if somebody is promoting a new product or an existing product to a new marketplace and they want to put their brand onto an item, energy drink that could be promoting a special, you know, type of packaging in the supermarket may want to add in a grocery list with their, you know, like a little memo, like a grocery list notepad that's packaged with it. So people
yeah.
can kind of put it on their refrigerator and they'll remember that product when they bought it, when they go to the grocery store, they buy it,
yeah.
to enhance those types of retail sales. To trade shows, using products to drive people to the trade show booth. To marketing through direct mail to build leads for their sales team. To supply-related products that are used for safety purposes, whether it's, you know, safety vests or, you know, National Safety Institute endorsed non-slip doormats so they prevent, you know, accidents from happening in their lobbies, to,
okay.
you know, signage and fair housing signage and stuff like that that's liability related. So there's a ton of different ways that people utilize the products.
Yeah. So the key point there, obviously, is that, I mean, people don't get excited about the pens, but they get excited about what those pens are helping them achieve. You know?
Yeah, like let me give you a quick example. So,
yeah.
you know, even along the lines of pens, like let's say somebody has an internet marketing business and they have 6 or 5 different services they offer as a part of their business. So instead of just sending out a regular pen, you know, we could do a pen where every time you click it, there's a little message that comes across the barrel of the pen. So it's almost
okay.
like 6 taglines or 6 types of service. And so
yeah.
products like even as simple as a pen or even something more sophisticated like a preloaded USB flash drive or memory drive, you know, with your electronic flyer or collateral on it, these are all ways that people use to kind of market their own businesses and stay top of mind with their respective clients and prospects.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so let's say now your business, and we'll get to how your business works behind the scenes in just a minute, but let's say all that disappeared today. You woke up tomorrow with 0 clients, 0 business. What would be your go-to move, the thing that's worked best for you in the past, to get your business back up and running and to go get some clients as quickly as possible? What would you do?
In the same industry?
Same business.
Oh, that's a great question. I'll tell you what it used to be, and then I'll tell you what I would do.
yeah.
So, see, when I started my business, my first business on the gift packaging side, I was really in that position. It was a small business, but I had about $40,000 of expenses I needed to pay, and I had no sales coming in. I had no receivables or sales coming in. And I literally just made samples of the products from the inventory I had, and I started knocking on doors, going door to door. Now, I would not recommend doing that these days.
Yeah.
But in the process of doing that, I ended up meeting a client who introduced me to another client who worked at Verizon, and I ended up getting a $125,000 order. So it is it is possible to do business that way. It's just very, very tough. What I would do is test a net to my nearest and dearest network, and I would basically talk about here's what I'm up to. Here's what I where I could really use some support. And if they know people that, and I would be very, very specific of the type of person I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Or the type of buyer I'm looking for, and ask for support, because in our business it's so relationship driven, and all it takes is one key relationship to either buy the product or push it down to the buyer and ask them to buy it from us.
Right.
So that would probably be the go-to move. The other thing I would consider doing would be actually just getting out into the community. Into the best network I could find of the biggest influencers and connectors.
And again, like, all these things are very simple, and it's like, in this day and age, we're all looking for that like silver bullet, like press a button thing. And in my experience, like, the extreme pursuit of that everybody has leaves these simple things like wide open, just open for the taking to somebody who's willing to do them. You know,
no doubt.
So that's awesome. Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit and talk about how you run your business, because, I mean, you could say you're kind of in the product business, but you actually, your customers really are paying, your clients are paying for a service, whether or not they understand the true value of that service, right? So, you know, one of the challenges in any service business is the actual delivery of the service. Sometimes the last thing you want is more business, because it just drives you crazy, because you actually have to deliver the goods. So maybe tell a little bit of your story about how you started in this business, what your life was like then, and contrast that to what you're living today, which a lot of people would describe as much closer to Easy Street than the vast majority of people in your industry. So just talk about how that evolves.
Sure. And cut me off if I get long-winded. So when I started off, we were of the mindset of we needed to build the business internally. And so whether it's staffing up to have people. So when I was in the gift packaging business, basically I took my business from my parents' basement to I got a small business loan from the SBA and moved it to a 10,000-square-foot warehouse. We started to buy inventory in the anticipation of getting sales, and then we staffed up. We staffed up production, a production manager and a production team, administrative people, salespeople, and stuff like that. And before we knew it, we had, we probably had 40 full and part-time people that were working for us and on payroll. And I thought when I started business, I thought that's how you build businesses. It's all your business and your people. And I remember there was one point about 7 years into my business where at the time I was in business with my brother, and he had kind of moved to Chicago to start up another sales office. But in actuality, I was doing as much or even more of the selling than he was, and I was running the operations and the production and stuff like that, and it was a seasonal business. And so, and we were undercapitalized, so we didn't have enough inventory. So every time we made a sale and had to make the product, we would deplete the inventory, but then we'd have to wait for another sale to get the inventory in. It became this ugly, ugly, ugly cash flow cycle.
Yeah,
and
wow.
So, you know, I probably worked, I don't know, 8 a.m. to 8 to 10 daily, most weekends. During the holiday season, it was around the clock. But anyway, so I basically had a, as I like to call it, my come to Dean moment. I have an accountant, and we had just had what I thought was our best year ever. But we had done about $2 million in sales, and I was feeling pretty good about myself, and I said to him, "So what do you think? How did we do for the year?" And he's like one of these accountant guys, very straightforward. He didn't even like bat an eye. He's like, "I wouldn't want to own your business." And I was like, "Oh." Like, dude, the amount of time I've just put into this and you're telling me that? And then I realized it probably took me about 3 seconds after he said that, and maybe like 30 seconds, because it hurt at first. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to own my business either. This business sucks. And I realized I'm not going to run my business this way. And so fast forward, you know, to where my business is today, and basically we have outsourced everything, and I mean everything. So we used to make packages and all these things. We had a warehouse. We got rid of the warehouse. We hired a company to make all the packages for us, so I didn't have any staff. We moved from a warehouse facility that was 30 miles from my house to a townhouse that was half a mile from my house.
Wow.
We went from a staff of 40 full and part-time down to 5. And we really just, what we did was we kind of outsourced the fulfillment, but we would still process orders for the promotional product. So just to kind of be real quick here, if I got an order for Bic pens, I would process that order, and then I would send the order to the paperwork to Bic, and then Bic would kind of fulfill the order, ship it, and then I would communicate with the client. We've gotten to the point even in our business where we've outsourced that component. And so my business model where it stands today is a completely outsourced business model. I deal with my clients on the front end. I manage the relationships. I build the relationships. I find the clients the products that they need, and I'm a resource to my client. The minute I get an order, I fill out a one-page order form, and I throw it over the fence to my back office partner, who then places the order with Bic, collects the money from the client, deals with all administrative stuff around the business. So we are a full-fledged outsourced business model.
Yeah. And how has your amount invested in a week changed? Amount of time.
I don't usually start work before 10 o'clock at the earliest in the morning, and then I'm done every day by 6 on the days that I work.
Yeah.
I'm in the process of trying to roll out this other business I'll tell you about, but before doing that, I was basically working 3.5 days a week, so I was taking off half a day Monday and on Fridays, and just working Monday afternoons, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. So, my income was 5 times than what I've ever made working in the other business doing it the way I was doing it.
That's amazing. And if you had to say, if you had to really like hit it home and explain, what's the one reason that made that income change possible? I mean, what at the end of the day, what is it really that all of these changes, where's the real value? What do they allow you to do?
I mean, you know, when you've got time to think and you're not in the, you know, the old saying, you're not working in the business, you're working on the business,
yeah.
And you're focused on the parts of the business that you like, not that just the ones that you're good at, but that you're good at and you like, it just makes business so much more fun. You know, I remember when we were in the fulfillment business, and when I say fulfillment, just to be clear, we had inventory, we'd pull inventory, we'd make packages. You know, we'd wrap stuff up, box it up, ship it out. We're dealing with a lot of reconciliation with inventory and shipping and logistics management and stuff like that. And I actually am pretty detail-oriented, and I was pretty good at it, even though it was all self-taught. And I remember driving around in Washington, D.C. with my wife, and we were talking about business. We're both business junkies. And I was saying, you know, there are so many companies out there, like AOL and these internet companies that are taking, this was back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, that need fulfillment services. We could take their product and package it up or whatever, and, you know, I think we could make a killing doing this. We're really good at this. And she's like, that's great, but you hate it. I'm like, you're right. I hate it.
Don't you hate it when they're always right?
Right. Exactly. But her point still, it holds true to that, which is it really is about doing what you love, not just what you're good at, but what you love. And I took the parts of the business, and that's really the takeaway. I took all the parts of the business that I didn't like, and I outsourced them. And I only do the parts of the business that I like and that work for me.
Yeah. Well, that's a perfect segue into talking about this new project, because what's so intriguing about this to me is you have a service business, and now you're basically in the process of turning your service business into a product that you're now offering to more people, creating a ton of leverage for you and basically going through this huge metamorphosis so that you can finally benefit from a level of leverage that just isn't accessible to most service businesses. So why don't you kind of give us the scoop on what you're up to now. And again, we're talking to people here who are working with clients. So I always listen to this stuff looking for takeaways for people that maybe aren't as far down the road as you are, doing what you're doing here, making this turn, but to give everybody a little hope and to just show them what's possible, like when you think creatively about what you can do with the service business. So just give us an idea of what you're up to.
Sure. So I'm in the process of rolling out a program called Swag Coach. And what I'm doing is I'm teaching people how to start a career in the promotional products space.
Right.
Or teaching them how to earn some side income by referring people through almost like an affiliate type of a network. But what I'm taking are all the best practices that I've learned, and it's an outsourced business model. So I'm kind of taking my past 17 years of experience and learning what I've learned and taking the parts of where my business is today and teaching that outsourced business model to other people. And while it's first and foremost relevant to the promotional products industry, there are definitely best practices there that I think would be relevant to your audience. You know, we go through one of our modules, for example, is all about understanding the buyer, and what the type of person that you're dealing with and how to position yourself in a sale so that you're driving the conversation as opposed to the conversation driving you. Understanding the hot buttons of what makes the buyer tick so you can start to build that relationship and then deliver on that relationship knowing what the buyer wants and likes. And it just becomes such an easy process. I'm really excited about it. I think, and the other thing that we're doing is teaching strategies for kind of taking more of a consultative selling approach as opposed to just a haphazard kamikaze selling approach. So by understanding the buyer, understanding the marketplace, understanding the sales and marketing process that our clients go through to get business, and then plugging products into that process for them and just using their language and their buzzwords. And so, I'm super excited about it because, in essence, I'm taking a business that's offline and putting it online. We're in the process of doing some things with our business to make it e-commerce capable and super easy to use, and teaching people, which I know you and I are working on, about some best practices for how to build out kind of a business in a box through an outsourced business model online.
Yeah, and when you're telling me this story, it totally reminds me of what's known as the JPDK model, Jeff Paul, Dan Kennedy model, which was, way back in the day, I don't remember what year, where Dan Kennedy, the marketing expert, basically worked with Jeff Paul, who at that time I think was a CPA, to become extremely successful in a particular area, just like, Josh, you become extremely successful in this area. He figured out what works, and then he packaged up what works and offered it to a much larger community. It's like a viable escape route, really, for any service-based professional who doesn't want to work for clients for the rest of their life. And so, it's exciting to see what Josh is doing for that reason. If you really had to, go back to the beginning of when you got into this business, what do you think is the one quality that's made you really infinitely more successful than everyone else in your industry?
Well, I don't know about everyone else.
Well, I mean, how many, just to give everybody an idea, what percentage of your competition do you think is earning six figures a year at this business?
Um, it's probably less than 2%.
Right. So, and you're, and it's not like you just broke $100,000, you know, dollars in income. So, I mean, for me looking inside or in from the outside, it's pretty remarkable what you're doing with the amount of effort that you've invested. So I was just curious if anything comes to mind that you'd attribute most of that success to. Any quality that you have, a strategy that you've employed, anything like that?
Yeah, well, thanks for the shout-out. I appreciate that. I would say there are a couple of different things. One is my attention to detail.
Yeah.
And because there are so many products and the ability to almost be able to bank ideas and then connect the right product to the client,
yeah.
I sometimes have these out-of-body experiences. I'm like, how do I even remember that factory carries that product? It's bizarre. You know, it's like I can't remember what I'm supposed to do for, you know, around the house so that the wife and kids are all happy. But I could tell you what, you know, a client who placed one order with me bought, you know, 5 years ago, and I haven't heard from him since. But
wow.
So I think there's that attention to detail. I think the follow through component is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I make a commitment, I follow through with it, and I think there are so many people, forget in business, just in the world, that just don't do what they say they're going to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, pay attention to the details, do what you say you're going to do, and, you know, and then I think the other side is just spreading positive energy in this kind of bizarre way. You know,
yeah.
I want people to think of me. I think my clients enjoy working with me because I'm fun, and it's a nice little break from their whatever they're doing, whether I come in and show them products or whether we go out to lunch and we're, you know, talking about things that have nothing to do with business. And
right.
I think that people appreciate that because I'm reliable and I'm somewhat interesting in that way.
Yeah, excellent. Well, that's awesome. Well, give everybody, you know, whatever websites you want so that they can kind of look at both ends of your business.
Sure.
Go ahead and give those now if you would.
Okay, yeah. So the main business is called On Sale Promos. It's onsalepromos.com, onsalepromos.com, and that's our main business, and we white label that site for our licensees who sign up with our Swag Coach program, and our Swag Coach program is swagcoach.com, that's WAGCOACH.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being on the line. I really appreciate it. It's awesome to hear, you know, from somebody who's I'll say it again. I mean, really successful in a niche that most people don't even know exists, frankly. So thank you so much for your time and for sharing your insight, and I appreciate it very much.
All right. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Jason.
Thank you.
Take care. Talk to you.